obtain knowledge and wisdom that comes from God, because one of the great needs that men and women have in our day is to learn to balance life.
This is Mission 66, brought to you by TWR and the Bible Teaching Ministry of Dr. Luis Seau. Today, we're stepping into 2 Samuel, offering timeless lessons of repentance, justice, mercy, and relying on God's guidance. You can follow along with your downloadable study guide at mission66.org. Here's John Matthews with Esther Sisulu to guide our study.
Welcome to our Bible exploration program as we read through the pages of the book containing the eternal words of God. And we're here with our teacher, John Matthews, who leads us through the book of 2 Samuel. And this book describes King David's life, the good, the bad, and the in-between. And in today's episode, we'll learn what happened when David's own son rebelled against God's ordained man. So here's our theme, good news of great sadness.
Esther, thank you so much, and great to be with you, and a very, very warm welcome to this latest episode of Mission 66. And, well, the captivating story here in 2 Samuel continues. And just by way of quick reminder of previous episodes, we've seen this war take place between father and son, between David and Absalom. And finally, God gives David victory, and Absalom, who was a son who rebelled against his father, is killed after hanging from a tree by his own hair. He was simply hanging there while Joab and his soldiers came to put an end to his life, and indeed an end to the rebellion that he was causing against his father, David. And with this moment, the war ends. And the Bible tells us that Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, was anxious to give David news of Absalom's death and indeed the victory. So this man, Ahimaaz, talks to the commander, Joab, and Joab says, "Listen, you shouldn't give him this news. Just leave it for another occasion, because the situation's more complex than you think. The king's son has died." So Joab then gave the orders to a Cushite, a man from Ethiopia, and he told him to take the news to the king. So having spoken to Joab, the Cushite goes, but Ahimaaz doesn't give up. He wants to accompany the Cushite to take the news to the king as well. So Ahimaaz runs, and he runs by way of a plain. So he continues running, and he passes the Cushite with the intention of taking this news to the king himself. And what skill would be required in delivering this message? And he finds David sitting between the two gates, the inner and the outer gates of the city. The verse says, "The watchman went up to the roof of the gateway by the wall, and as he looked, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out to the king and reported it." So at this point, they realize that a man is coming to bring news to the king. But now they spot there are actually two men coming, and they discover that Ahimaaz is coming as well as the Cushite. So David, knowing that it was Ahimaaz, decides to have him come in first. And the chapter says, "Then Ahimaaz called out to the king, 'All is well.' He bowed down before the king with his face to the ground, and he said, 'Praise be to the Lord your God. He has delivered up those who lifted their hands against my lord the king.'" Well, the king is already concerned, and he gets straight to the point, asking him what's really on his mind. And he says, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz finally realizes what's going on here, how the situation is indeed complicated, and how the news was not really as welcome as he anticipated it would be. And so he answers David, "Well, I saw great confusion just as Joab was about to send the king's servant and me, your servant, but I don't know what it was." And Ahimaaz stands there and he waits for the Cushite to come and bring the message to the king himself. "My lord the king," he says, "hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all those who rose up against you." But David's question is again the same. Is the young man Absalom safe? And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." And at that moment, David understood that his son Absalom was dead. And the chapter goes on to say the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and he wept. As he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son."
Yeah, you can truly sense that overwhelming grief that David is experiencing as a result of his son's death there, John. But, you know, there is a lot of tension around how this news gets delivered, isn't there? Because in verse 19, I wonder why there's this constant back and forth over who should carry the message. And why does Joab then end up sending the Cushite instead? I mean, was it simply because he thought, look, he's probably a faster runner, we'll get there a lot quicker? Or, I don't know, was there more to it?
Yeah, well, it's a strange one, no doubt about that, Esther. It seems that Joaz does not want Ahimaaz to take the news. Question is, why not? It may be Joab thought Ahimaaz isn't the best person to deliver hard news. Maybe he's made a judgment call there. It seems like this dispute was between David and Absalom, and now it's about who can run the fastest, it seems, to deliver the message. So what is going on here? Well, Ahimaaz is the messenger, and it seems that he is going to take the news. That figures, as he was always the man who brought good news to the king. But it also seems that Joab sees the complexity of the situation, and so he's concerned about how David would react when he received the news that they, the soldiers, were effectively celebrating the death of his son, Absalom. So he tries to hold Ahimaaz back and sends the Cushite instead, who is someone who would not be expected to bring much hope or expectation as to good or bad news when he arrived at the palace. But Ahimaaz takes it upon himself to go anyway, and when he arrives, he realizes the difficult atmosphere that he's entered when David starts clearly with great concern in his demeanor and his voice, asking him about his son. And so Ahimaaz kind of backtracks in the moment and allows the Cushite to come and bring the news instead. So it's probable that Ahimaaz here is a little bit like a rabbit stuck in the headlights. He assumes that David would be overjoyed because of the news of the victory and completely underestimates the power of delivering the news that his son had died. And what happens? Well, the king cries in great despair because of the death of his son, Absalom. The good news that Ahimaaz thought he was bringing really ends up being really sad news. And with that, Joab receives the news that David is inconsolable and is weeping for his son Absalom. And it was said to him, to Joab, "The king is grieving for his son." And the men stole into the city that day as men steal in who are ashamed when they flee from battle. And the king covered his face and he cried aloud, "Oh, my son, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And so here David is caught in his emotions, doesn't know how to balance those family emotions and relationships with his relationship in this moment to the entire nation. And you find the men who had been victorious in battle having to steal into the city almost unnoticed. And Joab then recognizes the situation, takes a lead, and he goes to speak directly to the king. And this is what he says, or this is what the chapter says. "Then Joab went into the house to the king and said, Today you have humiliated all your men who have just saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines. You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom were alive today and all of us were dead. Now go out, encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. This will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come on you from your youth until now. And so with this stern warning, a pretty necessary warning from Joab, the king got up and took his seat in the gateway. And when the men were told, "The king is sitting in the gateway," they all came before him. So Joab speaks to David, and David tries to collect himself after Joab paints the biggest picture of the situation that his men, those who'd been loyal to him, were feeling. They felt humiliated. And he talks to him. And so David tries to adjust the situation, gather himself, and he goes back to the place as the leader of the people of Israel. And as we read on in verse 11, it says, King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Ask the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his palace, since what is being said throughout Israel has reached the king at his quarters? And the Bible then tells how David returns to Jerusalem and recovers from his personal crisis and takes his place again as leader of the nation. But at the same time, the complicated problems that existed in the nation still exist, and they will reveal themselves as problems that are tough to deal with. And it becomes clear that after this experience in Judah, many of the leaders lost faith. They were now not convinced that David should still be king. And so there is a tear within the kingdom of King David. And after much talking, after trying to resolve this difficulty, it says in verse 14 that he won over the hearts of the men of Judah so that they were all of one mind. And they sent word to the king, "Return, you and all your men." Then the king returned and went as far as the Jordan. And after this, we are going to see how David deals with several difficulties and is able to regain the support of the entire nation. But we all know that this support is not going to last forever, because there is this clear division, this rupture within the country. And the sad reality is that they will never achieve complete and absolute unity again. And so David now encounters people who were a problem to him in the past. First, we look at verse 18, we find Shimei. You might remember Shimei, he'd cursed David back in chapter 16. Well, Shimei comes before David and his tone is desperate. "May my Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my Lord the King left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I've come here as the first from the tribes of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed." And David answers, "What does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? What right do you have to interfere? Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Don't I know that today I am king over Israel?" So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. And so it seems as though David has overcome this personal crisis. He regains his leadership with the important support of Joab, and now decides to deal with the smaller issues in his kingdom. And he forgives Shimei, which strikes our attention, actually, because it reflects David's tranquil, peaceful nature, character. He's not a cruel man. He's lost his son. He's gone through all that he's gone through. But he knows how to deal with this complex situation of Shimei. And after this, David ends up discovering the problems that Ziba had caused for Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth shows up on verse 24 here as somebody who was greatly lamenting. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his moustache or washed his clothes. So David talks to Mephibosheth and they end up resolving the problems, the difficulties in their relationship between, well, the relationship between him, Mephibosheth, and his servant Ziba. In fact, it was such a good decision that verse 29 says, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the land." And then David is also really kind towards somebody who had aided him previously in the previous chapters, and that man was Barzillai. And he tries to take him to Jerusalem with him. Barzillai was a wealthy man, a man who'd always supported David, who'd provided for the king when he stayed in Mahanaim. And now this man is old, more than 80 years of age, and is going to be provided for by David. And so David shows his kindness and reveals a right and proper attitude when it comes to resolving conflicts. And verse 40 says the king continues to Gilgal. Kimham crossed with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel had taken the king over, revealing once again the weakness of the kingdom that will grow with time. So we see political crises in Israel during this moment of stability, and all of this was a result of the victory that they'd had over Absalom's army, and David is over or able to overcome his family crisis and regain his place and, to an extent, his power.
Wow, the Bible here describing a very complicated situation, John. And, you know, I was just thinking to myself, you know, everybody likes the bearer of good news. But, you know, when they realize that the message is painful or perhaps even serious, I think it becomes a completely different story. Well, this is Mission 66, and we're journeying through 2 Samuel 18 and 19, and we're looking at the many facets of King David's life with our teacher, John Matthews. And John, in looking at King David, we see here that he's leading a nation and he's handling these national crises. Yet he struggles to manage his own household and to guide his own children. And we see here in the end that Absalom's rebellion nearly tears the entire nation apart. It's quite the contradiction as a leader, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, life is full of contradictions, isn't it? And tests and trials and suffering as well. And I suppose David here is dealing with the consequences of his actions. He had protected Absalom too much, and this created a problem, it seems. And we're going to see that as human beings, we are weak. We're able to do certain things well, thanks to what we see in the Word of God, thanks to the presence of His Spirit in our lives. But we have a human nature that tempts us to wander and tempts us to rely on our own strength. And, you know, we see in the story of David that we're always capable of doing foolish things because of that inconsistency. And that is based in our ongoing battle with our own nature. King David, no doubt, was a great king, but he had serious family problems. And so that is something that many of us have to face. Maybe we're facing it right now. And maybe even, Esther, it's an encouragement that one as anointed and as great as King David suffered with these very real day-to-day problems.
Yeah, absolutely. His story is so relatable to us today. And, you know, King David, known as the great king, in chapter 19, though, we do see a side of him that we're not used to seeing. You know, on top of him being emotionally shaken because of what had happened with his son Absalom, he's now under pressure from his generals. So I'm curious, in this political dynamic, who's actually in charge here? Is it Joab or is it David?
Well, David, as great a king as he was just a man. And just a man who was prone to temptation, who was prone to anxiety, he was prone to becoming completely absorbed by his own emotions and his own suffering in this instance here. I mean, it's in answer to the question, David is in charge, but things are complex. And his perspective, he loses his perspective right here, and he needs somebody to give him the broad picture. He loses his reference. He's so emotionally connected to his son, of course, that he loses focus on what is going on in the nation. And so he would have liked to have won the war and preserved his son Absalom, as rebellious as his son was. But his despair when he hears of his son's death is so great that Joab sees that David has lost perspective. He sees that David is affecting the morale of the nation, and it upsets Joab in a way. He has to take the reins there in that moment. And he says to David, look, we just saved the lives of not only you, but your other children, your wives, your concubines, the entire nation. And you are in danger of losing the confidence and allegiance of your own army. Come on, Joab saying to him, this is the big picture. You need to see it.
And, you know, honestly, from that point on, it does get really interesting when we look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 41 in particular, because you start to see this tension building, almost an unavoidable conflict, I'd say, John, and that's between the northern and the southern tribes. Now, the north feels overlooked and the south feels exactly the same way, especially the two major tribes, that is Judah and Simeon. So my big question here is, where is this rivalry headed? I mean, how is this all going to play out in the bigger picture?
Well, ultimately, the tribes will never reach full unity. Saul wasn't able to unify the country in its entirety. And now, even with everything that David has done, there remain cracks. Verse 42, for example, says that the men of Judah say to the Israelites, we did this because the king is closely related to us. Why are you angry about it? Have we eaten any of the king's provisions? Have we taken anything for ourselves? Well, how did the Israelites respond? We have 10 shares in the king, so we have a greater claim on David than you have. Why then do you treat us with contempt? Weren't we the first to speak of bringing back our king? But the men of Judah pressed their claims even more forcefully than the men of Israel. So this is a situation of opposition. David reveals his split emotions, and this separation reveals itself even more, indicating where this will lead Israel in the future. So you can see this split between these guys.
Well, John, this has been a lovely look at 2 Samuel 18 and 19. That's all the questions that I do have for today. But how should we summarize all that we've discussed in today's episode?
Well, today, Esther, on Mission 66, we've had this good news of great sadness. David was the king, but he was also a dad. David ruled. He was a great military leader, but David also had to talk to his children within the family and deal with them as well. So, you know, no doubt a difficult, difficult situation for David. And look, it's an intense challenge in our society as well today, isn't it? And this is why we need to seek God and learn about the truth and the power that is held within the pages of the Bible. And so I'd finish by saying, obtain knowledge and wisdom that comes from God, that comes from the past. Because one of the greatest needs that men and women have in our day is to learn how to balance life and not to become consumed by tough. No doubt about it, life brings tough stuff our way, but we need to look to God, who has that broader perspective and can say to us, look, I know this is sad, but there is a bigger picture. May the Lord, even in the midst of sad times that we might be experiencing, show us and give us a glimpse that he is in all and over all, and he calms our griefs and our sorrows, and he takes us to a higher plane, And that higher plane is a place of peace. It's a place of freedom. May the Lord God bless your heart today.
And that's where we'll leave it for today's episode. But hey, friend, we'll be back here same time, same place as we continue further into the book of 2 Samuel, which describes the life of Israel's King David. Well, I'm Esther for John and our entire team here at Mission 66. We'll see you next time.
That's it for today's episode of Mission 66. But before you go, make sure to check out mission66.org for your free study guide. It's a great way to get more from the Bible and to see how it connects with your life. Cruise through the scriptures with John and Esther, chapter by chapter. Grab your free study guide at mission66.org and be all set for our next episode. While you're at the site, shoot John and Esther a message or ask them a question. You can also become a Mission 66 Global Partner with your donation, helping Mission 66 get to more places in more languages. All the actions at mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry partnership of TWR and Dr. Luis Seau.